I'm Pierre Lumumba here at the Lukenya Hills campsite in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya in the continent of Africa. And we continue this discussion, and today we focus on a very critical subject, the subject of reparations. And it is not lost on me that the year 2025 has actually been declared by the African Union as the year of reparations and justice to the African peoples. So that reparation is a live subject. But the question that is to be asked, reparation for what? And this is a subject that has remained contentious. Contentious in the sense that those who are the perpetrators of slavery have been very reluctant to accept that there is need and a case for its reparation. But Africans, wherever they are, persons of African descent in the Caribbean, in Latin America, in the continent of North America, in Europe, and in different parts of the world, have always said that the colonizers and the enslavers must offer reparations for the damage that they occasioned. Let us contextualize this. One, over half the population of the continent of Africa was taken away from the continent and taken to the Caribbean, taken to North America, and taken to parts of Europe, so that today, when you see Europe and America built the way they are built, it is on the sweat and blood of Africans. Africans became hewers of wood and drawers of water for those civilizations. Whenever I go to Brussels and I see the street lights, I see Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo. When I look at the underground in London, I see the iron ore that was stolen from the continent of Africa. And we only talk about the punishment and the pain, the rape and all these, the lynching that was visited upon African people, the decimation, the devastating experiments that were taken, that were undertaken to test drugs on diseases such as syphilis on African population is something that we don't talk about. The spiritual damage people are made to abandon their God and to embrace another God, the rape of the women, the disembowelment of the people, that is outside of the continent of Africa. But what we forget is the social disruption that it left. Our able-bodied men, whether they were in Togo, in Gambia, in Senegal, in Nigeria, present-day Nigeria, Ghana, Angola, the communities were left hopeless and helpless. That is slavery, the commodification of the black man and the black woman. And many are those who died. It is estimated that half of those who were taken from the shores of Africa actually did not get to the Caribbean. They did not get to America. They did not get to Latin America. And it is not only that, there was also theft. In Benin, the artifacts were taken. In Nigeria, the artifacts were taken. In Ghana, the artifacts were taken. In Namibia, heads were actually taken and stuffed. So it was also theft and plunder. In Egypt, the same thing. That was during the raid. And when the European powers had fought in the coast of Africa, they were killing each other. They then said, we've got to organize this theft. And they organized this theft. They sat in Berlin and they said, now we are dividing the hunting ground. You, the Germans, will hunt here. You, the British, will hunt here. You, the Italians, will hunt here. You, the Spaniards, will hunt here. You, the Portuguese, will hunt here. You, the Belgians, will hunt here. And they continued with their plunder. They continued with their plunder so that today, when you go to the banks of Europe and America, you'll find bars of gold. you'll find all these things having been taken from the continent of Africa. And when slavery had run its course, there was another much more pernicious project. They were no longer interested in just coming and going, but they brought people to settle. And the settlement took different formats. The British, whose rule was characterized as indirect rule, in a number of countries, they brought what were called settler communities. Kenya was such a settler community where bad-mannered, ill-mannered people from England were brought to the East Africa, East African region, and they settled in some of the areas. They changed our laws, they introduced crops, they introduced poll tax, they introduced taxes, they introduced forced labor. In Kenya, they were devastating. They killed people, particularly the Agikoyo of Kenya, and massacred them, raped their women, took their land. And of course, in Zimbabwe, what is present-day Zimbabwe and what was then Rhodesia, Cecil Rhodes actually renamed the country after himself into Rhodesia. And they did not intend to leave. That was the settler community, which was to be found in the East African part. Then there were the extractives and the apartheid regime, which was instituted when Jan van Riebeeck came into the southern part of Africa and settled in what is now known as the Cape of Good Hope. Once again, they instituted in 1948 the apartheid regime, which use color of skin as a basis for distinction and as a basis for exploitation. So today, when Africa and the Caribbean and persons of African descent are talking about reparations, they are saying that we ought to be compensated to the extent that is possible. And those who do not want reparations say, but how do we compensate you? Do we give you money? What do we give you? And this is something that has been thought through. In 1993, in Abuja in Nigeria, African countries and people of African descent met and came up with the Abuja Proclamation. The essence of the Abuja Proclamation was that reparation will take different forms because it is unquantifiable. It cannot be compensated by way of money. Some people have come up with calculation that if you calculate it in modern days, it would be 17 trillion, some 24 trillion, but I think that is speculation. So the Abuja Proclamation said, number one, courtesy of your institution, such as the Bretton Woods Institution, we are indebted to America. We are indebted to Europe by way of multilateral organizations such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, or also bilaterally. Forgive all those debts. Write all those debts off, number one. Number two, let us go into the monetary space and ask ourselves what it is that can be accepted as reparation. We agree on a figure and we go into the spaces where you support social, or you offer money that will be used in social aspects of the society. Let it go to education. Let it go to health. Let it go to infrastructure. That is one other thing that is been suggested under the Abuja Proclamation. The other thing, perhaps the first thing that was demanded of them, apologize. And it is instructive. I think the Germans have apologized. The Dutch have apologized. The French have never quite apologized. They speak some language which is close to apology, but it's trickery. The British have never apologized, because I'm told they claim that when you apologize, you open a floodgate of claims. The Germans did apologize and paid a token amount to the Namibian government. And of course, the Belgians have never apologized. And so apology would be the foundation stone upon which all these things would be happening. And then, of course, there is also the return of stolen artifacts, many of which are now adorning museums, the Guggenheim museums, the Smithsonian museums. And it is instructive that some of these have now been returned from the Smithsonian. I think they have returned something to the Ashanti Empire. We have also had things returned from Berlin. We have also had a few things returned from La Louvre. The British I've also returned a few things, but that is the tip of the iceberg. And you know, these colonizers are arrogant. They say, but when we return them to you, do not have the capacity to take care of them. If we made them in the first place, why can't we take care of them? But that is the arrogance that is the character of the imperialist. So in reparation now, what is beginning to emerge is the collaboration between people in the African continent and in the Caribbean. And I can say at a very personal level, we are now involved in a number of cases which are going to be prosecuted with a view to ensuring that reparation takes place. And the cases are taking very, very specific directions in terms of ensuring that reparation has meaning. Number one, we are saying the soft things, apologize. And when you talk about the colonizers, we must also remember that reparation is also being expected from certain religious organizations. The Roman Catholic Church has admitted, because the Roman Catholic Church is one of the largest landowners anywhere in the continent of Africa. It is true that the church has contributed in terms of building schools and other things, humanitarian activity, an apology is expected. The Anglican Church has now actually apologized that they were the beneficiaries of slavery and the colonization. Barclays Bank accepted that their bank was used in this regard. So these cases that are being mounted are saying apologize and then return the artifacts. And the artifacts using Africans in the diaspora are now being identified, and the institutions which house them are also being identified. Number two, compensation in terms of the debts being written off. That these are targeting institutions such as the World Bank and the IMF, and the idea is to get even declaratory orders through the invocation of universal jurisdiction that these debts are no longer owed. In fact, I remember in 1987, the then president of Burkina Faso, Thomas Noel Isidore Sankara, said in Addis Ababa, let us stop paying these debts. Of course, he died before this was undertaken, but that is the attitude that is being taken by some people, and we are pursuing that in a very orderly manner. And there are a number of cases, the beauty of it. The other thing is to monetize by saying that all the things that were done can be quantifiable in dollar, in euro form, and these monies will then be administered in a common fund under the guidance of a continental organization. Because this is one of the arguments that the colonizers always have. But when we give you money, who will administer it? How will it be dealt with? Won't your politicians, who are known for their thieving ways, just return it back to be kept in Europe and America? But we are saying that if this is ordered properly and we use the institutions of organizations that can be revamped, such as the African Union, we can create a continental fund which will then be utilized in a manner that will benefit the people of Africa. And these monies, we are saying, will then go into education. They'll go into agriculture. They'll go into healthcare. They'll go into infrastructure. They'll go into research. They'll go now into areas such as, I see one of the latest cases saying this is what is going to go into research in areas of artificial intelligence. They will ensure that we no longer are relying on Western NGOs which come to give us the pittances and say that they are helping us. So the whole idea of reparation is very well grounded, and is so well grounded in my view that it's only a matter of time that we'll begin to break the back of these erstwhile enslavers and these erstwhile colonizers to make them know that colonialism was a crime against humanity, that slavery was a crime against humanity, and that it was perpetrated in the not too distant past against African peoples, and that some element of atonement is mandatory for the world to have what one can say a level playing field where people can shake hands and say, yes, you wronged us, we have apologized, and we are atoning for it. That is what Africa is asking about. That is what people of African descent are asking about. And I'm quite certain that in Asia, they may be asking the same question. But speaking about Africa, something is being done. And I hold the view that the Abuja Proclamation of 1993 is something that ought to be given impetus. It is unfortunate that the African Union is not giving this the traction that it deserves. And I know that the Europeans and the Americans opposed the Abuja Declaration Proclamation. The time is now to begin to make noise about it and to ensure that reparation takes place. So it is a battle that is going to be fought, metaphorically speaking, on land, on water, and in the air for the sake of those who were brutalized. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to interrogate and to investigate issues that are germane to the continent of Africa, but let us take a break and we will see you next time. Thank you very much.